Rona Saw had a large head, a wide, frog-like mouth, and the vestige of a dorsal fin that ran front to back along the top of his skull. And when Santana looked into Rona Saw's eyes, he could tell that his XO was way ahead of him. "Are the troops strapped in?"
"Yes, sir," Rona Saw rumbled. "I checked them personally."
"And the cyborgs?"
"Secured, sir."
"Good, thank you. Now all we need is a nap." Sergeant Major Dice Dietrich was seated to Santana's left. The comment might have been sufficient to elicit a chuckle from the hollow-cheeked non-com, except that he was already asleep and snoring gently. An apparent lapse that would have earned him a tongue-lashing from another commanding officer, but Dietrich had served under Santana for many years and had certain privileges. Behind them, and strapped to D-rings set into the deck, was a recon ball. Her name was Lieutenant Sally Panko. Thanks to her special abilities, the cyborg could tap into the TAC base's circuitry and the lictors, so long as the vessels were connected. "The bugs are coming up to play," she said laconically, "and the DAGs are engaging them. Hang on, we are 20 from launch and counting." The onboard computer began a countdown that could be heard in every compartment, and for reasons known only to the combat habitat's manufacturer, the machine had a female voice. "Attention all personnel. TAC base 11767 will launch in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. The last was followed by a violent jerk as the self-contained fortress fell free of the lictor and the influence of the supply ship's R-grav generators. Santana felt his stomach flip-flop as the artificial gravity disappeared and his body rose. The six-point harness held him in place. Then came a sudden jolt as the computer fired a combination of steering jets and video blossomed on the monitors. The planet framed in the center monitor began to swell as the flying fortress entered the exosphere. After 10 minutes of acceleration, the disembodied voice flooded the PA system again. "TAC base 011767 is about to enter a planetary atmosphere. All personnel will remain in their seats with harnesses fastened until further notice." "Here it comes," Panko predicted, and she was correct. Shortly thereafter, the hull began to vibrate, then rattle. Finally, it shook like a thing possessed as the flying fortress slip-slid down through heavy cloud cover. The battering continued for what seemed like an eternity, but was actually less than half an hour. As Santana began to wonder if the trip would ever end, the disc-shaped hull steadied. Wisps of cloud blew away, and hundreds of square miles of verdant forest appeared on the monitors. The land was divided into asymmetric shapes by ribbons of blue that connected lakes with the sea. He could see that much, but the TAC base was traveling too fast for him to discern very many details. Santana gripped the armrests of his chair more tightly as a saw-toothed mountain range appeared in the distance, and the TAC base flew straight toward it. The so-called drop box was equipped with steering jets and repellers, but it didn't have engines, and it couldn't climb. So as the mountains rushed at them, Santana wondered if they were about to die before the mission really began. He could see gaps between the jagged peaks, but none was wide enough to accommodate the flying fortress. It was a struggle to maintain his outward composure as the final seconds of his life ticked by. He thought about Christine Vanderveen, wondered where she was, and how the news would affect her. Then, without warning, the flying disc flipped over onto its side, slipped between two neighboring pinnacles of rock, and righted itself again. "Holy shit," Dietrich said. "I hope this thing lands soon. I need some fresh underwear."
"I think you're going to get your wish," Panko observed as foothills gave way to thick forest and the TAC base continued to lose altitude. "But Boehner's Bay wasn't much before the war, and I doubt things have improved much."
The flying fortress was only 300 feet off the ground by then. Santana saw what might have been a plantation, a stretch of dirt road, and a distant hill. Within a matter of seconds, the disc passed to one side of the elevation and flew over a sprawl of 1, 2, and 3-story buildings. Then, the drop box flashed out over Boehner's Bay before circling back for a landing.
"TAC base 011767 is taking fire," the computer said emotionlessly